The top of the roof in the desert. Why are we here? It's hot. Exactly. Next year we actually will probably have Black Hat in the desert itself. Or, where am I? DEF CON, thank you. I'm here all week. All right, nobody look. No, not quite. Hi, my name is Timothy Mullen. In certain dark circles, I go by Thor from the Hammer of God security site. We do all kinds of neat stuff. And in my spare time, I like to mess around with window security and drink White Russians and consume other people's expired prescriptions. I'm just kidding. I really don't know anything about Windows security. I don't know why I tell you people this. It's because I have nothing to do while my laptop boots up. Oh, you were there yesterday. No pictures of my wife. Yeah, this is a little off topic, you know, talking about drugs and alcohol. But why an Alcoholics Anonymous? Why do they call it that? When the first thing you do is get up and tell everybody who you are. Microsoft must have designed that step. You know? I just don't get it. Okay. We're going to talk about some neat stuff today. I think it's pretty cool. If my laptop is a nice boy today and the curse of David Litchfield doesn't descend upon me, we'll be able to do some really cool stuff. If it does behave poorly, I'll spank it in front of you all, but we'll still get a pretty good indication of how this thing works. Let me just flip this thing around. The curse of David Litchfield. Anybody seen him speak before? Great, good speaker. Anyone ever seen his equipment work? I don't know why. He's a genius. He works at AtState. Absolutely. I think he's a phenomenon, right? But his stuff always breaks. This exploit, well, exploitable condition, I should call it, kind of came out of an argument David and I were having in Hong Kong. So just him being involved with it has made my laptop blow up. I've already reinstalled Windows on it once. Okay. Thank God. I thought the fan was going haywire over there. It's about to suck me in. Well, I watched The Cell last night on video, so I was... Okay. The main goal here is to kind of show you guys some issues that we have with some new DB libraries. In SQL Server 2000... And this isn't a server exploit. It is a client exploit. But I'm just going to give you some background here. SQL 2000, which I think is kind of a cool product, has some new functions. On the client side, we get this guy called dbnetlibdll. And he supports TCP/IP connections, encryption built into them, authentication, all kinds of neat stuff. It's also the default library on workstations that have the SQL 2000 client utilities installed. So when you install your SQL Server 2000 client, that guy gets installed on there by default. Also MSDE. So one should note, was anyone at Black Hat and saw Chip Andrews' deal? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? He was talking about a lot of third-party apps that use MSDE for their engine, right? So there's probably a plethora of those guys that would also install dbnetlib on your box. Little background, SQL 7 supported TCP/IP, of course, but you had to use mixed mode authentication. In other words, if you were using integrated authentication, two modes to SQL Server, right? You have integrated authentication, mixed mode authentication. Integrated is where everyone who's logging into your site has been authenticated by a domain controller previously to logging into the SQL server, and it uses that username and password, passes it right on via NTLM. Mixed mode is where you supply it. All the users are based on SQL Server itself, and you just supply it username and password at logon, regardless of who your security context is at the time, right? Not your local context. So if you wanted to use this integrated authentication, you had to use name pipes, where you had your WAC server, SQL pipe, whatever it was. Now, that means 139 and 445 are open, right? Because this is an internal network, and they're open anyway. But you weren't really doing this over the Internet, right? Who's doing 139 over the Internet, please? There have been a lot of different exploits surrounding SQL Server, most of which have counted on you using the mixed mode authentication. Stuff like the open row set directive where you could execute code on the box and system context and all that stuff. So integrated authentication's always been recommended by Microsoft, and all the configurations, use integrated, because of the security involved there. 139 and 445 have always been blocked at the router, right? All your firewall people block this. If not, they're yum-yums. I mean, anybody that has 139 open to the Internet, I mean, those are the people that the flight attendants have to explain how to open the buckle of the seatbelt, right? I mean, somebody burned to death going, oh, my God, I can't, you know, so they have to explain that to them. This is the same thing. I mean, this is opening the buckle on your seatbelt. If you have 139 and 445 open, you're crazy. Many server-to-server apps, my wedding ring is in my pocket. I completely went to the Bahamas on that when I took my rings off to wash my hands, and I didn't put them back in, and I noticed it was gone, and I was like, in that 2 seconds, realized my wife was going to kill me. Back to the conference. So, many server-to-server apps authenticate over 1433 because it's safe, right? So if you've got your server on your intranet and you've got another server somewhere else, they're going to do server-to-server communication. They're going to do some opening queries. You're going to authenticate that traffic and open up 1433. That's crazy. So here's the deal. DBNetLib now directly supports integrated authentication over 1433. You can send out your NTLM credentials over 1433 now. I mean, you need to understand what we're saying here. We're just getting to the point that people realize to block out 139, 445, so as it's done, we're just getting there. Now all of a sudden, we open up the possibility of a high port that has actual business use can now support this. So that in of itself isn't necessarily a big deal. The problem, as we already said, is 1433 outbound is typically free to pass. In fact, I've seen a lot of router configurations where established traffic, no matter what it is free to pass, but then they'll block it if it is 139 or 445, right? You have your denies, which is also kind of nuts. So let's just kind of look at what happens here. A client-side ODBC connection string, by its nature, gives the developer the opportunity to set the server authentication type and library, right? Connection string server equals this, trusted security equals this, network library equals this. So as a developer, I can set that stuff up. Well, a website can put a client-side script or HTML email that opens up record sets or ActiveX objects, things of that nature. The problem is, if it's my website, I'm the one who decides what goes in that connection string. So here's a lame example. In my script, I do a new ActiveX object. I mean, and people have ActiveX scripting sometimes turned off. Not everyone, but you should. That's why it's lame. So We say connection string, provider, SQL ODB, integrate security, persist security, info false, initial catalog, blah, blah, blah. You give the data source, and right here, you specify dbnetlib. So when you go and execute this site, or execute this page and this object is instantiated, I'm specifically designating dbnetlib and integrated security. So what's going to happen is your client is going to deliver its NTLM credentials right to my box over port 1433. It's crazy. All right, so let's see if I can make this happen in real life here. As I said, I had to redo my whole configuration, and I was all stressed that something was not going to work right. Litchfield and all. And was in a big hurry. I actually had to fly home. Yes, last night, Vegas to Reno was my flight. Now close your eyes and imagine the people on that plane. I would like a ticket from bad to worse, please. I'm here all week. Okay, so now I need to go into VMware. I normally have these guys powered up and ready to go. Oh, and I have some cool VMware stuff to give away, so I'll ask some stupid question or the best insult somebody can give me, and you'll get a hat and a shirt. Well, but not right now. So I'm going to power this guy on. VMware is actually kind of cool. It allows you to instant. Well, that's just my CD-ROM. That wasn't VMware's problem. That's my problem. It allows you to instantiate your own little boxes on your inside of your other active window, network connections, everything. So I'm actually starting a Windows 2000 session in here. He's going to be my client, and my active session is my evil server. Sure. Was that a question or a stretch? Okay. And I'm restarting it because the last time that I did it, this guy only had 256 mega RAM. I tried to get somebody to let me borrow their box, but nobody trusts me for some strange reason. I mean, even buddies like Ophir. I'm like, let me hold your box. Hell no. Okay, give me just a second. See, this is where pictures of my wife would come in handy, right? Hey, hey! Yeah. The guy with the VMware hat is the one who said that. Exactly. What? Oh, he said, he asked if I wanted some pictures of my wife. As if he had them. Just in case you weren't with me there. I do that every time. Okay. Don't look. I don't trust any of you people. Okay. Boy, it'd be nice if this works. Otherwise, you'll just have to trust me. Who trusts me? Okay. Everybody else, I guess, can just go. Okay. I'm going to give this session a minute to get its act together. He lives in a real small window on this box, so, and it's kind of hard to see, but what it says where the little hand is buy crap. So I'm just kind of walking somebody through, and this really isn't on my site. Just come to my site. I won't grab your credentials. Okay, so I've got my little ADO DB example here. Let me get my PowerPoint slide up here. Hello, come back to me. Okay, so I already had the code on that guy. So you saw that. Okay. So I'm going to get my sniffer going here. And I did this in black. I actually showed people this the first time, showed anybody this for the first time. I'm still getting my English down. At Black Hat, and a couple of people asked if I have like a full-blown exploit and kind of why I'm using Network Monitor to show you this. Well, that's not my gig's not to write a bunch of exploit code. I want to illustrate that stuff can be done. I'll give you proof of concepts. My real reason for sharing all this is so you people can protect yourselves, not so you can go out there and hack everybody up, right? I have to say that. The Fed is here. All right, so I'm going to start a little network capture. Now, this is an ADODB example. So we all know that this is kind of lame because you don't have scripting turned on typically. But this is what bothers me. This page is accessing a data source from another domain. Do you want to allow this? That doesn't tell us anything. We want to access data in another domain. That's why we're doing this. So it'd be very easy for anyone to assume that yes is right. It's also the default. So when you hit enter, what's going to happen now is when I hit enter, it's going to instantiate that ADODB connection object. And if I wanted to engineer around it, I could say, you know, security settings may require you to validate, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to say yes. If it times out, we'll know we're hosed, but I can work around that. I think it's going to time out again. Yep, it timed out. But that's okay. I can still illustrate my point right here. I'm going to go down my network monitor a little bit here. Where was it? Maybe it was up here. So this is where, and I don't know how easy it is for you guys to see, but thankfully it's kind of highlighted in black. You'll see the destination port is 1433. Now, I'm the server in this case. So what's happening is my client shows a high port over 1026 destined for 1433. In many cases, this call would have gone right out of your firewall, right? I mean, who's blocking outbound 1433 at the egress? Not a lot of people are. So the thing to realize here, and I'll show you where it makes the call for the SQL Server if I don't fall over on those steps. And that's it coming back. The source is now 1433 for mine going back down to that guy. Now, if my SQL Server service in my active client was really listening, they went home and tested it again, but it's kind of hit and miss with my VMware. You would actually see the NTLM SSP being referenced here. The username... Actually, the domain and username are actually passed in clear text here. It's not even base 64. You'd see that going down there, and then I get my hash right in this data stream here. Who's familiar with Dildog's exploit on the Telnet server deal with the NTLM hash being passed out? Right. If you want to get a good breakdown of what the actual packet construction is, then go to the @stake website. I've got a copy of it in my bag as well if anybody wants the URL, and they give you the entire packet structure so you can see. A little anticlimactic, somebody help me out, anticlimactic without being able to see the hash because my my box messed up on me. But like I said, this page is accessing a data source. There's another one that's kind of bad. And I don't want to linger too much on the client side. Really what you need to know is that your credentials can now be blown out of 1433. That's what I really want to focus on here. But here's a couple of neat ones. Part of the installation of those client-side tools is a couple of new ActiveX controls that are safe for scripting by default. And that's a bad thing. One of them is this SQL namespace ActiveX control. And this is all client-side stuff. What that guy's designed to do is to interrogate a SQL server and get a list of all the objects. Kind of like if you wanted to build your own enterprise manager, your own code, you could use this ActiveX control to do that. Well, the problem here is that it's completely silent. I could go to, and let's talk about that for a second. How do we acquire a target for this kind of stuff? SQL 2000 newsgroups. You can go to one SQL 2000 newsgroup and in a day probably get 250 email addresses of people posting questions that you know have the client loaded. Send them an email. Put this guy in here. Set your server. Sniff their traffic and you get all their credentials. You could use that to, if you wanted to do like an SMB relay on the guys, you could do that. You could take it offline and crack it. It's hitting LM hash, right? So it's not like it's going to crack in 2 seconds. But you could crack it in 3 months. So if I got several of your administrators, and that's the other thing. Your database administrators are typically administrators on that box, if not domain administrators, right? There's some value to getting those credentials. If I crack them offline, not only do I have your own credentials, I know I have credentials to your SQL server. There's a lot of neat stuff that you can do. So let's take a look at this guy. What am I doing? Ah! My brain locked up for a moment. Okay, no, I don't want to debug. So I'm going to go back here. Underneath here, where I have clicked the spinning head of Hermod, I feel, well, they might not time out. It's hit and miss. So I'm just going to start my trace again, just in case. Next time I'll bring a couple of laptops, just so that I don't have to mess around with all of this. Okay, so I'm doing it. When I click on that guy, since that object is marked safe for scripting, and I will say, there is a Service Pack 1 for SQL 2000. I brought this up to Microsoft a month or so ago and wanted to make sure that they had a service pack in the works before I said anything about it, right? I know, full disclosure, blah, blah, blah. It's my vulnerability. I'll do what I want with it. So they did come out with a service pack. The problem is that who takes the service pack for SQL Server and loads it on their clients? Nobody. So it doesn't do anything. All your clients still have, you notice all it did was it gave me the timeout because the VMware session is not talking to the other guy. But in the same manner, we'll see how it tries to open up. No, that's not it. That was doing the web page. You see, ooh, maybe it did it. I think it timed out again. But you'll see it's the same thing. The destination port, 139 doesn't even come into play here. The destination port's 1433. You wouldn't have even known that that happened. I really wish that I had two computers. Does anybody? No. I really wouldn't do anything to your computer. Do you have the SQL client on that guy? No? If you want to actually, I mean, this is, okay. Well, I appreciate it. I'd have to load the SQL client on him. It's there. The only thing that we didn't see is the word NTLM. If anybody's really interested in seeing that, you're all going to go do this at home anyway, right? So you'll see that the other problems here are a couple of other ActiveX controls, SQL distribution, and the merge control, and they're all scriptable right from IE, and they're all marked safe for scripting. So that's where you can grab the creds for fun and profit. And then I already did my live demo, and I wonder if I have any. I wanted to talk about kind of how to stop this. From the ActiveX control standpoint, there's a couple of things that you can do. I'm an advocate of group policy. The Windows 2000 group policy manager is really powerful. In a domain environment, you can set up a group policy that will automatically go out to all of your servers and workstations, and you can set options like this for IE and security options. So you can disable stuff that's marked safe for scripting, but you probably haven't now, but you might want to do that. You can set your systems not to ever access data sources in another domain. That's also a smart thing to do. However, be careful because, you know, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, so there's going to be other people, you know, Georgie Gazinski and people who really know what they're doing, who are going to find ways of instantiating objects on your client that push your credentials out 1433. So have a talk with your firewall people. Show them if you need to. And lock down that egress. Don't let 1433 go out unless you have to. In large B2B environments, it might be something that has to be done. And they'll say, well, all the traffic's encrypted on that channel, so it doesn't matter. But it does matter because the port's open. So if they're going to do that, make sure that they lock it down host to host. Right? If you can, keep people, you know, only let out what you have to let out. And that's the danger here. So other than applying the service packs to your workstations, use strong passwords, use group policy. There's really not a whole lot we can do about this right now. And I think once people start using this guy, it's probably going to spread like a fart in an airplane, you know? I mean, it's going to be, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, if that offended you on that one. So are there any questions about how this can be used, if it matters, do you care? Blah, blah, blah. Anybody? Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll put some more slides. I'll put those HTMLs up at Hammer of God right now. I've been here, so I haven't been able to do it. But it's the Hammer of God website. The top one's my real life. I design business accounting software. Woo! It's actually cool stuff, but it's nowhere near as fun as Hammer of God. So go to the Hammer God website. I've got some other tools up there for enumeration and stuff like that. Well, I talked about that yesterday. So these slides will be there. I've actually gotten some requests to write an exploit for this, and I don't think I'm going to do that. It's tempting, but I mean, I think you illustrate it and you tell people to protect themselves, and then I'll leave it to, you know, RFP to write the exploit. Yes, sir. Does it work under Windows XP? The ActiveX object does. Now, how XP is keeping it from being instantiated automatically, I don't know. That's what the question was. Does it work under XP? I'm going to have to say yes, because the DB is not OS specific, right? You can load your client-side tools on that guy. He's going to open it up, send it out. Yes, sir. Can you get the DBNet lib to use Kerberos? Not to my knowledge. I do not know, so I'm just going to guess. But I'll first state, I don't know. But my guess is that since it's NT authentication, that the only way it's really going to be able to do that is to pass the hash over. Because you're really authenticating on the other box. So he might acquiesce to a Kerberos server, get a token, bring it back, check it. I don't know how that would work. I doubt it. But you know what? I'm glad you said that. The other thing that you can do is force NTLM version 2, if you can get away with that. Not all of your applications, depending on how they authenticate cross-platform, that may not work. I'd like to know that. Who is successfully running NTLM v2 exclusively? There you go. Oh, these two guys are. Or do you have questions? Yes, sir. Oh, you are. Okay, good job. So he's in good shape. Yes, sir. Yeah, if you want to just engineer your way around it like that, absolutely. And you can also call this, I mean, it's a library. You can write code and distribute it. It could be a Trojan. It could be whatever. I mean, it's not like it's not malware. We're not malforming packets. We're not doing anything. It's valid traffic. It's NTLM traffic over the wire. Now, I mean, it's up to your imagination how you're going to get that library on their box. I'm just telling you, like, right out of the blue, you've got a pretty juicy target already. But absolutely, you can do any of that stuff. Yes, sir.
The buffer? Yeah. Like the overflow or something?
The question is, are there any parameters that will cause buffer overflows? I have no idea. I'm not a buffer overflow guy. Who did I see? There's a girl I met. There you are. She's a buffer overflow person. I don't know. Litchfield, I'll ask David Litchfield about that. And I'll post comments and questions and stuff like that on the site. Very possibly that you might be able to do that. I would think, though, you mean in order to, Pat? There is one parameter that Chip Andrews says we can do. I tried it before I came today, and it didn't work. But what Chip says is that in that connection string, you can specify port. I haven't been able to do it. He's saying go to library equals dbnetlib comma port. Now, if you can do that, we're all up shit creek. Because then I set my evil server, I hate that term, evil server. I set my server up listening to SQL on port 53. I send out these emails, or just have a website that sends out the NTLM hash over 53. Now, how cool would that be? If anybody can make that work, please tell me. I'll put your name up and all that crap. I'm not interested in who did what, you know. I won't say I did it. But, I mean, that would be, and I actually tried it. That's the only other parameter I know of. You very well could cause something to go into user context and exploit, blah, blah, blah. Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Yes, sir. I have to be careful. I have to look first, you know.
What is that? Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The question was, are those parameters that I did in this ODBC connection string compatible with your standard ODBC driver libraries? It's called, like, if you're writing VB or if you're writing anything and you just, oh, yeah, that's all it is. It's that string. You can go into your VB, absolutely. Just change the network library. And absolutely. Well, I know everybody's really hot, and I'm amazed that it, oh, one more question. Actually, we got a lot of time. We can all go drink.
What?
Installing the service pack, other than the SQL Server crap that the service pack does, marks those ActiveX objects as not safe for scripting. But they still exist. It would probably say your security settings don't allow you to run this, or it will ask if you want to run an ActiveX, or you get some other type of dialogue. And so the question was, what does the service pack do? And it does some stuff for SQL, I don't know, but it does mark those ActiveX controls as not safe for scripting. But that's why I'm saying don't get hung up on these ActiveX controls, because who knows what else we can do to instantiate these objects. If we can call dbnetlib, then the game's over. That's the point I want to make. Yes, sir? You certainly could do a push install. I'm just saying the reason I said it's just typically people don't do that. Like when your Exchange Server service pack comes out, you go over to the Exchange Server and you install it. But everyone who has client-side stuff, who cares? They can connect and do everything. But you absolutely could. You could use SMS. You could use group policy. You could roll out custom installs. So, yeah, do that for sure. Well, good. I like questions. Yes, ma'am. I'm not going to tell you what she said. No, I'm kidding. She said if she says thank you, can she have the T-shirt? And I said yes. I was going to be mysterious, but I didn't want to insult her. So, if there aren't any more questions, I'm going to let everybody run back into the air conditioning. Thanks very much. I hope this was of some value to you. Thank you, thank you. And have a good rest of the conference. Woo!